Welcome to our journey.
Come along with us as we discuss our heritage for our legacies.
Hey, hey, hey. Here we are. Again on Sunday evening. I'm Michael.
Hey.
And I'm Keith.
Well, today on the show, I guess we're going to continue on with our history of the church on the farm with Aunt Mavis. We invited Aunt Mavis to come on and give her story of the beginnings, and we're going to have some different questions for her. And y'all got anything to say before we get started?
Yeah. Before we get started, I'd like to say that I'm sorry. The story I said last week about Grandpa in the military and the knife in his hand was straight as I remembered it from my grandpa, which was a long time ago. This week, James Richard Johnson texted me, and he said, David, Grandpa was called Flash. So I remembered Lightning, and he remembered Flash. We still remember the same story, but the name, you know, it's been a long time. And I agree with Jamie. I do believe it was Flash. I believe I was wrong. But that kind of reminds me, I wanted to ask Aunt Mavis. Aunt Mavis, when you were upset, when he did something that had you aggravated, was there a phrase that you would use to let him know that he was in trouble?
Keith Hughes.
Keith Hughes. And I asked that because we laughed when I said James Richard Johnson. We heard that when Aunt Lydia was mad. And we knew that he was in trouble. And we knew that we were in trouble too, because we were doing whatever Jamie was doing.
That's right.
So it would next would be Michael Anthony Karen.
That's right.
Lanny David Williams. We knew when we heard our full name that we were in trouble. I just wondered. I couldn't remember you actually getting on to him.
That was because he was such a extraordinary good child, right?
He was.
Is your age getting to you? Because I have different memories, but no. I'm thankful for the opportunity to get to bring Mom in. When we talked about this last week, I kind of wish we could have had her there then, but she probably would have kept us a little straighter. It's real easy to stay straight when Mama's in the room.
Yeah. So, Aunt Mavis, thank you for coming and being here with us. You and I had a conversation before, and I wish we would have recorded it. But maybe we can get back into some of what we were talking about as we go along. But I wanted to ask you, what is your favorite Bible verse? And why?
It becomes a different Bible verse at different seasons of my life, but talking about coming to start this work here on the farm, when I was in Anadarko packing up to come here, this Bible verse, Philippians 4:19, played over and over. It was a tune in my head as I would pack stuff up. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So for 7 days, I know it was a week, it played over and over and over and over and over in my mind. And he has. So for that season, that was it.
Right. Yeah. we understand that there's different seasons for sure. Okay, so going back to you and Uncle Larry, where were y'all at when God convinced you to come back to start the church?
It started when Larry and I decided that we were not going to have the same old, same old. I don't know if you understand what I mean, but every spring you have a revival. Every fall, you know, something different. We decided we were going to hear what God had to say.
Right.
And he told us to invite a minister to come run a revival that we'd never heard of. Didn't know anything about him, really.
Right.
And he rocked our world. I mean, it was God doing it through this man. He believed in praise and worship. And you know me now, I love praise and worship.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, but it was all right with me then to sing a hymn or two and maybe every now and then get an emotional song, you know.
Right.
But this man would wear out a tambourine in 2 months playing the tambourine. He showed us what he believed about worship.
Right.
And it just really changed us. We started wanting to sing Bible verses.
Yeah.
Not just some emotional song that, and I still like emotional songs, but the word is what we started wanting. And we decided, we had a wedding. We had two just before we left Anadarko, but at one of these weddings, there were several relatives in our house for the wedding, and you know, we have a big family. Well, this one relative said, there is such peace in this home. And I'm not saying that to brag. I'm just saying, can you imagine all those people in that house and that person saying, there's so much peace in this house. I just want to stay here.
Can you imagine a 5-year-old and 4 older sisters in a house with a bunch of family and somebody saying that? I was the 5-year-old.
That's right. But anyway, I couldn't get that out of my mind. And that was a relative from back here. And I said, God, you know, you're revealing things to us, which it wasn't even a drop in the bucket as to what he revealed when we came. But I said, I want family. I want family to understand about you and the peace that can come to every home.
Definitely.
So that's how it really started.
Gotcha. So.
We had been home. We were going back to Anadarko in Mississippi.
Natchez, Mississippi on the Mississippi River.
And Larry said, okay, God said for us to go. We're going back home. We're going to tell everybody at home. We're going to resign the church and whatever.
Okay, all right. So God told that to Uncle Larry. When did he tell you?
He had already told me when that relative said.
You were already feeling it in your spirit.
Definitely.
And that would have been roughly, what, a year before? 8 months to a year before.
And that was the first time, I'll have to say, that was the first time I ever remember God telling me, this is where I want you to move.
Right.
That's incredible. I could see me and Minette part beside the river and me telling her I'm fixing to quit my job, move somewhere, you would drown me.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure of that.
Yeah. I kind of
it would have
that.
To be God, right?
Yeah, yeah, it definitely have to be God.
Yeah.
We won't even get into that story of when Larry said, I'm quitting my job and going into the ministry. That happened that several years before.
Yeah.
So we won't talk about that today.
So what year was that?
When we came back the river. Here at the river, that was in 1986.
Because we moved back in June of 86 to Georgia. And so that would have been probably in the spring.
Yeah.
Yes.
So who was the first person contacted after God convinced y'all to come back to Georgia? Who was the first people that y'all reached out to?
Here in Georgia.
Well, wherever.
Okay.
Did you reach out to the other church to let them know first, or did you call home and say?
First of all, he called the overseer, which Larry was always a particular for doing things the right way.
Right.
So therefore, he called the overseer and said, I feel like that God is calling me to go back to Georgia, hometown, relatives there. And that overseer was very accommodating to him. But then the general overseer called him, which was unheard of, you know. And he didn't think that he should come because he just didn't think that that was the thing that we should do, which now I see that that was God's plan to give us more of a determination to do for the first time what we really felt like God was calling us to.
Right. So that, yeah. Somebody else's idea. Y'all wasn't going to go for somebody else's idea.
No.
That was all God that was.
Right, right.
So after they contacted, or Uncle Larry contacted him, did you call home?
I would say that we did because that was special, you know. We wanted our parents to know that right. We were coming, and his mom was still alive, and she was living in Waycross, and all my family was here in Pierce County, and some people thought it was good, and some people didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. So how did the family surround or respond to the decision of y'all coming back to form a ministry?
Well, we had several family members, Sammy Dixon, my brother-in-law, Jimmy Bowen, my first cousin, my mom and daddy, Lanny and Cindy Williams, David's mom, David and Justin, joined us to form a church. But that's not what God spoke to us to come back to do.
Right.
He did not speak to us to come back to Georgia to start a church. He told us to come minister to people.
Right. Well, who would have thought it was the family that you was going to have to minister to? So, was it an easy transition coming home? I mean, the reason I asked that was I wanted to know, was it like, did he pave the road, or was there hiccups along the way?
Well, I can inject a little bit of insight into that. You move 1,000 miles in a 1979 Ford Fairmont with a 2-horse trailer behind it and a 1952 Chevrolet pickup truck with a work body on it that don't have side mirrors, that you have to stop and get a beauty mirror to hold out the window. It kind of reminds you of that Clint Eastwood movie, Right Hand, Right Turn Clyde, and that monkey sticks his hand out the window. That's what this caravan looked like. And I'm probably piled up on top of the suitcases in the back of the Fairmont, you know, going through Dallas, Texas, and the flyovers then aren't near what they are today on the interstate when you head south and then you head east. But you got that It looked like the Clampets coming from the Midwest to the East Coast.
Well, Andrea and I were driving the Chevrolet truck.
Pickup truck.
We couldn't hardly hear each other. It made so much noise, you know, with the
windows down. With that 255.
Gear in the floor.
Yeah.
255 air conditioner.
So we get to Chickasha, Oklahoma. That's only about 12 miles maybe from Anadarko. The truck shut off. So we had to pull to the side, and Larry had to go purchase a toggle switch to put on the truck so we could start the truck more easily. Then we head out to Dallas.
Right. So, I mean, it's pretty much it was his will for y'all to come. He made it easy for y'all to come across the country.
So we're moving from Anadarko, Oklahoma, where we're pastoring a church running over 100 people, paying a salary and tithe, a parsonage to live in, coming to Georgia to minister to people where we don't have a home, we don't have a congregation, no salary, but the Lord's telling us to come minister to people.
I have to say it worked out with what we're in now. You were taking a leap of faith by doing it. And I guess once you got here, you found a place to live. You found a house to get into. But and we went over the other stuff last week with where the church kind of got its start there in the old Singer building. But
we did not miss one week of a salary. The church, the congregation, the people that had gathered, agreed to purchase a mobile home. That was the best living in a single wide mobile home. You know, we had Marsh and Gary and Blake move in with us till they got settled. I mean, God was just good to us. But we didn't know all that ahead of time.
Right. You mentioned Marsha. How did, I'm going to call them the girls, but we know we're talking about Marsha, Becky, Andrea, and Krista. They were older than Keith. Baby Keith, he was going where his mom and daddy went, but the girls were older. They had significant others at the time. How did they take it when you told them we're going back to Georgia?
Marsha was working at a bank. She was married to Gary. And we found out the week we moved, that she was expecting our grandchild. It wasn't the first one because Nathan was first. But she lived there where we lived.
Blake was first.
Blake was first. I'm sorry. So it was our first one. Yeah. Sometimes I get mixed up.
Well, you got a few of them. So you got that right.
And so it was difficult. I mean, that was difficult to move off and leave them. And Christy was beginning her senior year in high school. And a lot of things about that I didn't know at the time. I hate to say that, but... she had a grade point average where she would have been valedictorian of her class. And she didn't get to be in Pierce County. So that was difficult for her, but she was a trooper and she moved with us. And Andrea was finishing her first year in college and she moved home with us. So... there was a lot of things that were not how you would fix it if you were going to be fixing. Right. But God knew all the time what to do.
Well, and Becky was living in Arkansas, I think, at the time. She had been married a little over a year. And her and Phil were living in Arkansas. So they're, you know.
It wasn't as difficult on them as it was the rest of us.
Right. You know, and I can't imagine Mama and Daddy thinking about that. You know, Becky was the first to get married, and then Arkansas's not that far from Oklahoma.
Mm-mm.
So there was, you know, a few hours, but you could visit. Well, okay, now we're moving halfway across the country. And then Gary's the one that had moved to Oklahoma to marry Marcia. And what's going through his mind? Is she going to leave with him? You know, or am I fixing to have to move back to Georgia? I just got here, just got a job, you know. So nobody, when you think about ministry, you couldn't have predicted any of this, how it happened, you know. But like Mama said, they didn't miss a paycheck. They just didn't know they weren't going to miss a paycheck.
Right.
You know, and then who would have ever thought that in 1986, a mobile home salesman, owner, would actually give a down payment on a mobile home with for a two horse trailer.
Yeah.
In Georgia. I mean that just, but he did.
Yes, he did.
You know, and so those are the things that I you know, to this day I still, being six, but hearing the stories and remembering what I remember, you know, I still scratch my head and go, God, what were you doing? Because you were the only one that knew, and he did.
It was a journey.
Yeah.
Incredible yeah. journey.
Yeah. So we went through last week, and we talked a little bit about the, you know, the church where it started. Uncle Sammy's building up there at the Singer sewing machine place.
Yes.
Where it began. And do you remember any of the other names that was going to be called, you know, that the church could have been called? Because there was several names that I remember that were out there.
I really don't. Faith Christian Fellowship, that sounded right to me, and that's the only one I could remember.
Right. Yeah, that's the only one I remember too. But
yeah.
I just know that there was several names floating around, and being able to vote on that was a big deal.
Right.
So, but to fast forward on, so now you're the backbone of not only the church, but of your family. How do you respond to that? I mean, how does that make you feel, or does it put pressure on you?
Well, I had Larry with me when God said go home to minister to people. I don't have him with me. That's why it was hard to come do this today. But I have God with me that I have to rely upon even more heavily than I did when I had Larry with me.
Right.
Because there's a lot of things he did for me to take care of me that I'm having to go through and learn what I need to do. And I have to ask all of y'all, what do you think I should do about this? And that's good.
Yeah.
That's very good, because I feel like I could come to any one of my family members and they would advise me correctly on the subject matter.
Right. Yeah, definitely. And I mean, that goes back to the conversation we were having earlier before we got to recording, but your armor's strong, and he keeps you walking forward.
Right.
Because we all know that the armor goes on the front.
Right.
Not on our back. So, Keith, I think that next question was yours.
I just thought, you know, what has been a relevant purpose of the church location, the direction or mission, that the church has taken or should take because of where it's at.
I liked what y'all talked about last week. I liked the fact that Mama definitely prayed for another crop. I remember picking tobacco in the field in this location. And she was just adamant about wanting another crop and, you know, wanting to make a living some other way. And I really believe that the church being here is a testimony
to her prayers.
To her prayers.
Yeah.
And faith that she had. And it's a testimony to all the people that were neighbors in this neighborhood. I mean, you listen to any of them, they'll tell you that Mom and Daddy were neighbors.
Yeah.
And we all want to be that kind of neighbor.
I think one of the things that Daddy always would remind me of was that really where we sit in this church, we're about the same distance from Waycross as we are Hoboken, as we are from Blackshear. You know, I mean, we're closer to Blackshear, of course, but, I mean, Brantley County, Pierce County, Ware County, we're right here in the middle. And Daddy always held on to that fact that we were centered out here. You know, because a lot of people don't think of out in the country being the center of anything. Right. But it wasn't just the center of, well, growth in 86. Now, yeah, there's a lot more growth when you walk out a mile from where this church sits. But that was something Daddy always reminded me of. And I think about that and think about, you know, it all ties in to family, to you know, everything we try or should try to do is about us being centered and for us as a body, it has been about our relatives, our family.
Right. And I was listening to last week's podcast and talking about having a relationship with Jesus Christ. When we come to this central location, we are coming against spirits that are trying to take us away from being the church.
Right.
The ecclesia. Spirits that would try to divide us. And I think that has a lot to do with why we're here. It's not the number of people. It's the knowledge that we're getting that we can come against those spirits and see them torn down and the Spirit of God alive and lifted up.
Right.
And that's what Mama would have prayed for.
Yeah. So if you could talk to every great-grandchild or either a great-great-grandchild using this platform, what would you say to them?
I would say, lift Jesus higher. Lift Jesus higher. Don't become religious. But what you see in the Bible that Jesus did, you do also.
Be biblical, not religious.
That's always right.
Lifting him up.
And show love.
Definitely.
Yeah. When you think back over the 35 years of ministry here on the farm, what is a takeaway thought, just a big picture view of now what you see ministry as because of the last 35 years.
Okay. I remember the three of you running around, doing stuff, not even a thought in mind about family, getting married, having children. But now I see you with a family of your own. And as we were gathered here for Boy and Chiquita's shower, all the people that we affect. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have any idea that there would be that many people when we came here. But we've ministered to people, and we're still ministering to people, and we're going to keep doing it even more. And I've seen that progress, and I'm just so thankful for it, for this, the farm. You know, when I was growing up, I had no idea that one day we would have a church on the farm. But the goodness of God, He knew it.
And it's not just in these four walls that the ministry is going on.
It's not nearly about in these four walls. Yeah, and I hear testimonies every day.
When you think about the heritage, our family heritage, what's a memory that you would like to share that would enlighten us or encourage us from your probably early years, maybe, but encourage us looking ahead?
When I was growing up, my daddy didn't go to church with us. But when I got married, my daddy kneeled down on the drawbar of the tractor and asked Jesus to forgive him of his sins. And from that day forward, he was a changed man. And because I didn't see my daddy go to church with us, I was sick after I'd had one of my children, and I was at Mom and Daddy's house. And Daddy came in the room and prayed for me. And at that point, I started getting better. And my mama always, when we would be sick, she would tell us to pray. She didn't go try to run us to the doctor or buy medicine. It wasn't that available. But she'd tell us to pray. And that heritage, I mean, it might have seemed, we'd laugh about it, you know, we'd laugh about it. She don't even feel sorry for me. But man, that has had an impact on every one of us. Yeah. A mama that prayed, a daddy that prayed.
We're reaping the benefits.
Yes. Yes.
Definitely. So, is there anything else that you would like to say about the church, the heritage, or anything else? Because that's all the questions that I had written down, you know, to ask. But if there's something else that you want to share that's on your heart, please.
There's been a lot of people that have come, and there's been a lot of people that have left to go other places, other cities, other churches. But God sent us a word and said that would happen. It would be a training ground. And it has been.
It really has. I think of the people that have been all over the world, that they came through this church, they spent time here at this church. We prayed with them, we prayed for them. We may have helped them raise some money all over the world. Some of them are still in other countries today. I think the impact of this little country church has been enormous. I really do. And I think that Keith and Michael with their podcast, I think it's going to open up a new world. Couldn't believe Jamie listened to the podcast, y'all. I know we did it, and we said there might be somebody listening, but when he texted me, I couldn't. I'm like, so he took the time to listen to us. There's going to be more people listening. I think the legacy of the church, it'll continue. I remember when we were on the highway, and the discussion was, do we build a church on the highway? Do we come to Grandpa's farm? I remember those conversations. Because I remember the time we spent out there, we really felt like God wanted us on the highway at that time. We did. And so it wasn't an easy decision to move to come to the farm and build one. Even though Grandpa said, here's 2 acres, build it here, we still had a connection to that spot. And I know there's a lot of prayers looking back on it, but today when I drive through there, there was no other church in that spot at that time. But today, there's several big churches right there.
Right.
Within 100 yards of where we started. And to me, it's like, David, God's plan, and if you're in it, he's going to guide you right. We were there for a season to help plant some seeds, maybe, and look at those seeds grow. And then it was our season to move to the farm. You know what? I can remember Grandma driving when she couldn't drive to town. She would drive across to Hayfield Church. That was to me, that made it all worthwhile to see her drive the car behind the hayfield to the church house. She never had to get on the highway. She could just drive through the hayfield. And, you know, if that was the only reason God put it back here, I'm good with it. But I don't think it was. But I do think that was part of it.
Yes.
I think he honored her. I think that was him giving a gift to her.
Yes, yes.
Along with having a place for the family to come get. You know, today, if our family, if we could all get together, that the old song we used to sing, when we all get to heaven, right? That'll be the only time that we'll all be able to get together. We couldn't fit in this church building anymore.
No.
So, before Grandma and Grandpa was gone, we all got to meet Jeff. Because he brought a tent for the party. Well, now, he's bringing tents for church, for family. We're fortunate that we get to say church and we mean family, or we say family and we mean church. But no, we couldn't fit our family in these four walls. But if we need to, we've got the ability to put our family under a covering of protection called a tent, and he's just a phone call away.
And it goes back to that verse that you read at the end of the show last week. And that verse, you know, it came to me, you know, it was in the notes. I've had notes for months now, and I was going through, and I scrolled through and found that verse, and it's Isaiah 54:2. Enlarge the place of my tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. Take the walls down. And let it go out. That's how it. That's what it means to me. And you're right, with that tent, we can go anywhere. And with the audio and the equipment that we have now, we can go anywhere, and we can go anywhere quick. But, you know, as you get, and this will be it for me, Aunt Mavis, as you get more information, I guess, in your prayers about what we're doing here, you know, as you pray about it, there's a point I'm trying to make. I'm just trying to put it together in my head. So, but come back and speak to us about it. The wisdom that he shares with you comes down to us. Yes, we can share our wisdom with each other, you know, with you, but you are the backbone. You mean a lot to each one of us, and we respect your opinions and any information that you could provide us to do better here.
That is part of the heritage.
Yeah.
I mean, to think about being the backbone, that's a serious thought, you know?
But it was a lot easier for you to think of Grandma that way.
Yes. Yes.
Right. You know.
And that's one thing that I say, and one reason I'm really glad we're doing this, my kids got to grow up in a Sunday school classroom taught by Aunt Mavis, okay? To me, that was a Harvard education. It was better than that.
Yeah.
I know my cousins are scattered everywhere, and their babies can't come here every Sunday and hear Aunt Mavis and Aunt Linda and
Aunt Margaret and Aunt Margaret Cindy and Aunt Cindy. Marie.
Uncle Jackie,
yeah.
Right, and so on and so on. And that's a little bit why I think it's important for us to do this, is so that those kids can hear us, hear y'all.
Well, that has been one of the most amazing things, like Michael and I were talking before the podcast. Had I known when we moved back here, things that God's revealed to me through the obedience of coming. You know, that the church is not the four walls. The church is not who's in this building. The church is not who's in each church in this city. We are all the church. All Christians are the church. And every one of our lives should be connecting. Each story should involve everybody we're around daily. Because however it got misinterpreted, that the church got this meaning the building, I'm so glad that God's revealing to us that the ecclesia is the believers.
And wherever those, we are.
Wherever we are.
Wherever we are.
And those videos, The Chosen, have helped so much for people to see how Jesus just lived so simply and ministered to people so simply. And that's what he wants us to do.
Yep. So that's the end of the interview with Aunt Mavis. I had some other kind of little stories. Sunday dinners at the old house. Looking back, I often wonder how many people we could have fit inside that house. Because when I was young, everybody was inside that house. We can count how many people was there. Not easily, but we could. But how many would it hold now? I mean, at Grandma and Grandpa's or Grandma's birthday party, I think we had T-shirts made for each different level.
Yeah.
So, what was? Do y'all remember any of the numbers? I mean, you had the red shirts, you had the blue shirts, you had the white shirts.
Yeah.
But,
Well, there's 37 members of my family. That's just my family. So it's a large number.
Right.
But I like the challenge. I, you know.
So
right
Keith
now,
will have those numbers for us next week.
I'll do my best because I got a little bit of Larry in me, not just the name. But I like that challenge. Thanksgiving, Christmas, now. You know, I do remember Christmas at the farm. I remember being 8 or 9 years old, and we had the great snowstorm in 89. And guess what? Keith couldn't go outside because Keith had a double ear infection. So I didn't get to enjoy that. But now having these abilities, I mean, I walk out to the mailbox today, and our neighbor across the field pulled up, stopped in the middle of the road, and said, "Hey, y'all doing Thanksgiving and Christmas?" Yeah, bringing a tent. Okay, well, I'm going to have y'all some hams and turkeys. You know, I like the challenge of us trying to get together. And here's the thing. I'm not going to be tore down if it's five of us here. But if there's 105, I'm going to be ecstatic. And I think that's where God's wanting us to think differently. Hey, we're family. We can try to fill the place up. And we're not doing it for the wrong reasons.
Right.
Fellowship.
It's fellowship. It's getting together. It's encouraging one another.
Well, I was as thrilled to come to Coy and Chiquita's shower as if it had been one of my grandchildren. You know, I mean, that's how I feel about family. And that's how all of my siblings feel about family. Yeah. And that's not in every family.
No,
it's not.
It's just not. But that's what Mom and Daddy instilled in us.
That's right. That's what I was going to say. That was inherited, that love of family, because it was such a strong presence in our upbringing.
And when Larry died, and your family just supported us for a week with whatever we needed, it just was overwhelming to me. But it was a testimony of what Larry did in this community and in this family. He was an only child. He really didn't understand about family. But he learned about family.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. And it was just so overwhelming, overwhelmingly good.
And I think David brought up a good point. It's inherited, but it's not like it's genetic. And what do I mean by that? I know families that, like I've said before, you couldn't get two in the same room together. And then I know families that are like ours that we cherish, we relish the times we have together. And it's intentional.
Right.
We don't just hope that it happens. We don't just expect it to happen. We have to put forth the effort for it to happen. And that's what I want to encourage people through this, that none of us are perfect, and we're trying, but part of that is being okay with maybe not succeeding in your ambition, but putting forth that effort, because God's wanting to see people that are willing not because of their capabilities. And as a family, I think that's us. We're just saying, hey, we just want to be family. We want to share. We want to encourage. But it doesn't just happen.
No. Several years ago, I had a dream. And I probably have shared this with y'all. I'm not sure. But my Grandma Bowen, this is not the dream, but my Grandma Bowen, she had a room in her house. She did quilting. She did crocheting. She did embroidery. She just did all kind of crafts. She had a room that was filled with the projects that were not finished. Beautiful things. You know, some people have finished some of it since she's gone on. But in that dream, all of my nieces and nephews and my children were completing those projects.
You think she planned it?
They were completing those projects. And they were, there was an old house. It was unpainted, so it wouldn't have been Grandma's house, Grandma Bowen's house. But they set up all these different items that they had completed of those projects. And they were selling that stuff. Well, God let me see through so many things. Daddy's birthday, Mama's birthday, the first Thanksgiving we had here at this building. He has let me see that in this family, anything that's needed to be done to have a gathering, to help somebody, there's somebody in this family that's talented in that area. And it's gone so far beyond what Mom and Daddy and their 10 children was able to do.
Yeah, there's several talents, I mean, out there in this family that might not, you know, we don't recognize each one. And that's a gift. A
yes.
Gift given by God.
Right.
You know, and it, you know, inherited, but still it's a gift.
And I'm 76 years old, and I've been able to see a whole lot of those things in all family members. I'm not just talking about the biological ones, but the ones that have married in and all their gifts. And all the jobs, the different jobs. God uses us in the workplace, and that's what the church is, the ecclesia, is the workplace, the marketplace. Where we are daily, that's where we're the church.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I get so excited hearing the testimonies from all of y'all and all of the ones, others that aren't here right now, sharing what God did with their lives in the workplace.
So you think it come from that diesel fuel that was, that leaked out of that fuel tank next to the plum tree? Because everybody eat from that plum tree.
And did we die?
I can remember standing on that tank trying to get up to the ones on the top. I know we'd put people on our shoulders trying to get up there to the ones on the top.
Well, see, I remember the grapevine. Not so much the plum tree as the grapevine. The grapevine was spread all over.
Yeah.
Between the barns and out. And we'd climb up on the rails and break the rails. And Daddy would get up. But people would come from all over to get grapes.
But they used to send me first.
That's where you got stung.
The old one. Yeah, they would send me into the grapevines first because they wanted to know where the walls were.
Okay.
Michael's always been attracted to walls. Or they're
attracted to me. They would send me into the barn first. Go out there and see if there's any walls out there. Yeah, they are. That's where I learned a lot of things about putting bleach on it, putting backer on it to remove the stingers. So, grandma bowl and putting bleach on me. Yeah.
She was allergic to bees, I think. My mama was allergic.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
Seen her. Problem breathing.
The next one David can read.
I want to talk about the bogging day. What I remember about bogging. It was along the time y'all moved back. But I don't know exactly which year it was.
It was right after the church had been built.
Probably because Jimmy Bowen had a role to play in it.
Yeah, but I can remember the church was here.
But we were picking tobacco on foot across the road, and we had already bogged the picker down. That's why we were picking on foot, and we had the big tractor hooked up.
Pulling
a wagon that had the rack on it, so we were racking. That was Grandpa's ingenuity right there.
Cause turntable and
we took the turntable off the picker and mounted it to the trailer, and we were racking as we were going. So he was using the big John Deere. That's what we called it, the big tractor. I don't remember who was on it, but they got off the, as long as you stayed in the sled middle, right on the tire tracks, you were okay. But if you slid off 2 inches either way, you sink. We bogged that tractor down. We bogged it down so bad, we had to take shovels and dig down to try to hook up to it. I remember we busted the tire that day.
Yeah, chaining a log to it, trying to.
Grandpa's ingenuity, he took a fence post. We chained it to the rim of the tractor tire to let the tractor use it as a crutch to pull up. Well, one fence post and a big tractor, it's not enough. It broke the post, and the post went through the tire and busted the tire. Grandpa had his 255 Ferguson. We sank it.
Easily.
I was driving the truck, and I sank. The truck was was in one right at the end of the field. The tractor stuck in the field. The Massey Ferguson tractor was stuck halfway to the John Deere tractor. Grandpa borrowed somebody else's tractor. I don't even know who it was. It was from somebody, back towards James Robertson's house.
Somebody that passed by us thought they was going to help us.
We managed to bog that tractor down. I remember telling Grandpa to go get the lawnmower, and he said, why get the lawnmower? I said, well, we've stuck everything else on the hill. We might as well bog the lawnmower down.
He got a kick out of that.
And I remember they had to get the big truck wrecker, Blaylock's, in town. They had to bring the biggest one they had, and they run a cable from the highway all the way out to the middle of the field and pulled it out piece by piece. They couldn't do it all at once. Had to piecemeal it. And that's why I remember Jimmy Bowen had something to do with it. Whenever he was through, Grandpa said, send the bill to Jimmy Bowen. I don't know if Jimmy ever figured that out or not, but that's something we all remember.
Yeah. I remember it being, they asked, How you want to pay for this? And Grandpa just said, put it on Jimmy Bowen's tab.
Yeah. I think Michael was driving the John Deere.
I think he was.
I had that memory.
I couldn't, you know, swear to it or anything.
Yeah, but.
And that was the first one that got bogged down?
That's right. I started the whole thing.
For that day.
For that day.
Yeah. So another memory is playing baseball in the front yard when we would have those family get-togethers. We'd always use the cow fence as the outfield fence. We always like playing with Chris and Jamie, don't get me wrong, but we always had to wait for somebody to climb the fence to go get the balls after they would hit until we grew up.
They were
and
always,
we got to hit them out.
Cows would always be there.
Yeah.
So you were in the, you were going to get the ball in the middle of a bunch of cows most of the time.
Well, you had to dodge the cows and the piles of crap down.
I'd like to know what the score was, though. I don't ever remember a score of any of those games. That's how many of our cousins there were. We had two baseball teams. We'd have two football teams.
Who hit the most home runs? Who hit the most over the fence? Which cousins?
Chris and Jamie. They were older than us, and at that time, now we caught up to them, and then it went. Which by then, Chris had girlfriends, and he wasn't.
Yeah, he didn't come around.
He was too cool for school. So he had moved on.
I can remember my girls coming home and going to Grandma and Grandpa's, and where y'all had kept the grass deep down, and the cars going up there. The grass had grown up. They just cried when they saw the grass had grown up.
Yeah.
I remember it all dirt. But that was mainly because of them tractors going in and out of there.
Well, and Chris. Well,
everybody
power
playing basketball.
That was Uncle Jackie.
Probably so.
Every time he'd leave, you know it.
Yeah.
So tackled a man with the ball. That was our football game. It wasn't throw them up, bust them up. It was tackle the man with the ball, whoever had it.
You were brave enough to catch it.
Yeah. Everybody against everybody. We had black eyes and bruises. And so
I remember when y'all came, when y'all pulled in the Grandma and Grandpa's, we were all picking tobacco or something, and y'all came. What I remember about it the most is y'all had a big old piece of plastic, and we turned that into a slip and slide. And it didn't matter. When we were at the farm, that's the kind of thing we did. It's like a circus all the time.
Well, think about how much, now we go to Sam's, we get that gallon jug of Dawn dishwashing detergent. But how many bottles of Grandma's Dawn or Joy, Lemon Joy soap did we get to put on that thing?
Well, a lot of times that was that borax washing powders, too.
If it was slick, we got it.
That's probably the only way they could get us to take a bath, if you think about it.
That's the only way we could clean our feet.
Yeah.
So, David, you remember only reason why Grandpa turned on the NFL games?
The only reason Grandpa ever turned on a football game was to take a nap.
And Uncle Sammy and Uncle Zane were right there behind him.
I don't know how they used to sleep, but all us youngins running around. And the screen door would slam shut. And then, of course, they would have to get on to us for slamming it. But they never knew who it was.
That's
because
right.
There were so many coming in and out. So the screen door was constantly slamming, and somebody was constantly saying, "Don't slam the door."
And Daddy would sleep with the TV going all the time.
Yeah.
But as soon as Mama turned the TV off,
he's wide awake.
He'd wake up and say, "Why did you do that?"
That's right.
It didn't matter if it was noon after eating lunch, he'd take a nap, or if it was 10, 11 o'clock at night, I can remember. That TV cut off, and again, like Dave and Michael said, how? There was 35 head of us running through the house. And we were, at lunch. But if that TV cut off, Grandpa had set up and wonder what was going on.
Good memories of that.
Yep.
Aunt Mavis, I want to thank you for coming today. I want to thank you for what you've meant to me and my family. You mean an awful lot to us. We love you. I want you to know we loved Uncle Larry too. He meant so much to us.
Thank you. And I hope you can see that you all meant a lot to us. That's why we're here. Really is. There's been so many joys that have come being here and God showing us his plan. And I'm still excited to find out the rest of his plan for my life, even though Larry's not here anymore. I want to know.
You're still on that journey.
Yes, I am.
And I appreciate everything you've done for me during my journey as well. From teaching Pierce and Coy on up to, you know, myself. I appreciate you. And I love you.
Of course, it's my mama. I do joke around about me giving her such a rough time. I mean, I'm not really joking because I did give her a rough time growing up. But it's very special to get to come in and sit in the sanctuary here and talk to her and her enlighten us on some of the thought processes. Because a lot of times we get caught up in our thought processes and how we do things. But for her to come in and share her time with us so we can share it with y'all is really special. So I'm going to close with scripture. It's Matthew 7:24. Christ says, "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock." And I'm hoping that what we're doing is passing on some of the wisdom that we've been enlightened to through the scripture, through our grandparents and parents, and pass it on to the next generation. That's part of our purpose in this. Thank y'all.
That's all, folks.